It's a joy to be with you again this Lord's Day evening, and now to be joined by the company from so many churches around the rest of the presbytery. I want to let everyone know who's not been here so far a little about what we've done before we turn our attention to God's Word. Over the course of this weekend at the Reformation Conference, we have looked at five particular points where the Reformers showed that the reformation of the church was necessary in the 16th century. We have considered the doctrine of Scripture. We have considered the doctrine of worship and the practice of worship in the church. We've considered the doctrine of salvation, and in particular, justification by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. And then this morning, we considered the importance of the doctrine of the sacraments and our understanding of baptism and the Lord's Supper being rooted in the teaching of the Word, our understanding of what they are, how they work, what they do. And tonight, our attention will be turned to the governance of the church. I'll explain why in just a few moments, but with that as a word of introduction for why we're doing what we're doing tonight, let's give attention to God's Word and let's stand as we hear it read in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 11, but we're looking especially at verse 16. This is the Word of God. Hear it. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Amen. And thus ends this reading of God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he write its eternal truth upon all our hearts. Please be seated. 480 years ago, in about 1544, John Calvin wrote a letter to Emperor Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, in which he made a case for why the Protestant Reformation was necessary. By the way, I can commend the edition of that little book that Calvin wrote that has been produced by Ligonier Ministries and Reformation Trust, and Bob Godfrey, a church history professor and former president of Westminster Seminary in California, has written a wonderful companion volume and even done videos to go along with that book. It's a wonderful book, but what happened was Martin Bucer and some of the other older reformers, when Charles V called the Diet of Speyer, an imperial council meeting, kind of like Parliament in Britain, when he called for a meeting of the Diet of Speyer, those reformers said, we need somebody to write and explain to King Charles and those that are coming to the imperial diet why we need a reformation of the church. Now, that's very significant because 23 years before, who was standing before Charles V? Martin Luther. He had been called on the carpet to testify and actually called to recant his teaching in the presence of Charles V at the Diet of Worms, also in Germany. But now Charles needed the Protestants on his side because he wanted to fight with France. And this gave a great opportunity, the reformers thought, to make a case for the Protestant Reformation. And so they turned to a young pastor in Geneva, Switzerland, named John Calvin, and they asked him to write to the emperor and make a case for the Protestant Reformation. And he did. And in the course of writing to the emperor, he stressed that we need a reformation because the Bible, the Scriptures, ought to be the sole final authority of faith and practice, not the church. The church should not be over the Bible. The Bible should be over the church. The church should be under the Word of God, not standing over the Word of God. Secondly, he said, we need a reformation because the worship of the Roman Catholic Church is idolatrous. And you can't make Christians with idolatrous worship. Worship needs to be according to the Word of God. Third, he said, we have got to teach the doctrine of justification by grace alone through faith alone. If the gospel is you can be better with the help of God, we're all in trouble because that's not the gospel. We need the gospel of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, in accordance with Scripture. Fourth, he said, we need a biblical understanding of the sacraments. The sacraments of the church have been turned into a series of man-made rites and performances, and they have lost the original meaning when the Lord ordained them for the church. And so the sacraments need to be administered in the way that Scripture tells them to be administered, and they need to be understood in the way that the Scripture intends them to be understood for the edification of the people of God. And then the last thing that he said, and that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, is that the government of the church needs to be brought in accord to Scripture. Now that should warm the cockles of a Presbyterian's heart. It's Calvin talking about the importance of church government and polity. But I want you to hear specifically what he said. This is what he wrote to the emperor and to those who gathered at Speyer. Were I to go over the faults of ecclesiastical government in the Roman church in detail, I would never be finished. But here's what he says. Most important is this. No man is a true pastor of the church who does not perform the office of teaching. One of the great accomplishments of the Reformation was the restoration of preaching to the proper place in the life of God's people. And Calvin says, none of our churches is seen without the ordinary preaching of the word. So he's contrasting Protestant churches with Roman Catholic churches, and he says none of our churches is seen without the ordinary preaching of the word. He went on to say that the pastoral office must link holiness to teaching. Remember what Paul just said? Timothy, watch your life and watch your teaching, watch your doctrine. Calvin says the pastoral office must link holiness to teaching. Those who preside in the church ought to excel others and shine by the example of a holier life. Every man in here who has been ordained to the office of the teaching eldership has promised that he will pursue a life of godliness beyond that which is expected even of a Christian in the congregation, to be exemplary in piety. And Calvin complains that instead of teaching and pursuing holiness, the leadership of the Roman Catholic Church exercised a most cruel tyranny over the souls of the people of God, claiming power and authority for themselves not given to them by God, and living lives of ungodliness. The Reformation was intended to bring about a glorious liberty from unbiblical traditions that had bound the church. And so Calvin argues, it was therefore our duty to deliver the consciences of the faithful from the undue bondage in which they were held. So we have taught that they are free and unfettered by human laws, and that this freedom, which was purchased by the blood of Christ, cannot be infringed. And so Calvin was concerned that instead of a Roman priesthood that had been created through human tradition, that we have a true pastoral office restored in the church. Not priests, but pastors. Not pontiffs, but preachers. And preachers that practiced what they preached. And so I'd like us to think about that for just a few moments this evening. The Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, specifically addresses these issues. Set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. So there he calls upon Timothy to live a life that is in accord with the gospel. Practice what you preach, Timothy. And then he says, look at verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. So Paul says to Timothy, at the core of what you are to do is to read the Scriptures to the people of God and preach the Scriptures to the people of God. And he sums it all up with these words, verse 16, keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Why is this so important? Why is it important to have pastors, not priests, preachers, not pontiffs, reading and teaching the Word of God and living according to that Word? Because you cannot make a disciple of Jesus Christ without teaching the Word of God. You cannot make a disciple of Christ without biblical preaching, without preaching the Word of God. That is because disciples, followers of Jesus, are, what did Jesus call them? Hearers and doers of the Word. That's Matthew chapter 7. End of the Sermon on the Mount. What does he want his disciples to be? Hearers and doers of the Word. How can they be hearers and doers of the Word if they're not hearing the Word proclaimed? If they're not hearing the Word taught? Disciples, followers of Jesus, are hearers and doers of the Word. And you cannot be a doer of the Word if you're not a hearer of the Word and an understander of the Word. So in biblical preaching, the Word of God delivers through the preacher a message about God, grace, and godliness that is intended to convert sinners and edify believers, to transform the hearer by the renewing of the mind according to the Word of God. That message, that word, must be heard and received for disciples to be made and grown. That is why it is absolutely essential for the church to have pastors who preach and teach the Word, because faith comes by hearing. It's so important for us to remember that. The message that is preached is received. Hearing is receptive, and so preaching is essential to the making and growing of Christians. Listening to the Bible preached is a necessary part of discipleship. And one reason for that is that the Bible itself is God preaching to us. Every time you open the Scriptures and read it, you are hearing God preach to you. J.I. Packer has said, Holy Scripture, the inspired word or message of the living God, may truly be described as God preaching. Preaching, that is, in the sense of instructing, rebuking, correcting, directing every reader and every hearer for the furthering of faith, praise, holiness, and spiritual growth. So, it's no wonder that in the Bible, God specifically instructs preachers to emphasize the reading and preaching of the Scriptures in their ministry. That's why Paul says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, devote yourself to the public reading of Scriptures, to exhortation and to teaching. With the utmost solemnity, he will say in his final letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Holy cow, what is he going to tell him to do with an introduction like that? And you know what the next words are. Preach the word. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living dead. In other words, Timothy, picture the final judgment day. And God is looking upon you. And the mediator, Jesus Christ, is looking upon you. Now hear what I say. Preach the word. What Paul is saying there, especially to preachers, is neither unprecedented nor unique to him. Jesus said it before him, and by the way, so did Ezra. Look at Ezra chapter 7, verse 10 sometime. Think of Jesus' words in the high priestly prayer when he prayed to his Father for the disciples. Sanctify them, how? Sanctify them in the truth. And then what are his next words? Your word is truth. That, by the way, that's the motto that was chosen by the founders of Reformed Theological Seminary. Thy word is truth. How are God's people sanctified? By the truth. What is the truth? The word of God. Pastors need to preach and teach that word if we are going to be sanctified in the truth. And Jesus is indicating, among other things, that being taught the truth of God's word is essential and indispensable to the discipleship of Christians. And this comes out clearly in Jesus' Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Did you catch that? Jesus just told you how a disciple is made, by baptizing and teaching. And he emphasizes not just teaching the minimal basics. You know, he doesn't say, now, disciples, don't confuse them, keep it simple, just a four-point gospel outline. No, he says, make disciples by teaching them everything I ever taught you. So how am I going to become a disciple of Jesus? And by the way, what did Jesus teach? The whole counsel of God from Genesis to the end. It's all his word. And so how do you make a disciple? By teaching them the whole counsel of God. And by the way, not just so that they know it, not just so that they hear it, not just so that they understand it, but so that they live it, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's why Paul explains the goal of his preaching ministry this way. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Preaching aims to produce loving disciples who are hearers and doers of the word. And since faith comes by hearing, and since the Bible is profitable and sufficient to equip the believer for every good work, and since God himself has modeled and appointed in the Bible that the preaching of the Bible is the prime means of grace in the gathering and growing of the saints, then the Bible will be the substance and rule for faithful preaching. If the Bible is preached, the gospel will be preached. You will know that you can only come to God with your sins forgiven, and you cannot forgive your own sins, and you cannot do anything to forgive your own sins. You must look to Jesus. If the Bible is preached, you will know that you must look to Jesus to come to God. And if the Bible is preached, you will know how to live with God, because the Bible teaches us both the way of salvation and the way of the Christian life. And that means for all of us, we need to pray for our preachers. We need to pray for our pastors. But by the way, the Apostle Paul was not above asking for prayer for himself. Turn with me to Ephesians. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. after he has just talked about the whole armor of God, the Apostle Paul, and after he has exhorted us to, Ian, clearly, preach the gospel, let me just say on behalf of all my brother preachers tonight, if Paul needed Christians to pray for him to preach, we need Christians to pray for us to preach. We need your prayers. You ought to come into the sanctuary Lord's Day morning and Lord's Day evening praying for your preacher. Lord, help him. Lord, help him. Lord, help him. Help him open the word to us. Keep him faithful to the word. And then, Lord, help him in living the Christian life and even in suffering, because you've appointed him not just to teach us the truth, but to live the same truth that we're supposed to live. And we're going to face suffering in life. And so he's going to need to show us how to suffer. We're going to face crises of trust in life. So he's going to show us how to trust God in crises. So, Lord, help him. Help him live. Help him preach. Help him be bold. Help him be true to the scriptures. Pray for your preachers. And then pray for your own hearts to be opened to the preaching of the Word of God as your pastor faithfully brings that message to you. Because ultimately, you don't just want to hear the Word, you want to believe it. You want to trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation as he is offered in the gospel. And you want to, what did you vow when you became members? You want to endeavor to live as becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And both of those things depend upon the Holy Spirit. So you need to pray, Lord, make the Word fruitful in my life so that I believe in Jesus and I walk with God. That's what Calvin wanted church to be like. And Calvin said, that's not what was happening in the medieval Roman church. And therefore, he said to Emperor Charles V, we need a reformation of the church. Now, I've got to say, folks, I don't ever go to sleep at night worrying that Northwest Georgia Presbytery doesn't understand that and believe that. So thank you. I don't have to go to bed at night wondering if you believe that and understand that and practice that. But we never presume that will just go on. The Lord has mightily blessed this congregation and the congregations of this presbytery. Don't presume on the Lord. Don't presume that he'll just automatically bring you godly pastors. You pray for godly pastors. Don't just presume that your godly pastors will get up and preach the word on Sunday morning. You pray for them. Don't just presume that your pastors will live the Christian life. You pray for them to live the Christian life. We need the help of God to fulfill the vision of ministry in 1 Timothy 4 and the vision of ministry that Calvin talks about in concerning the necessity of the church. It's a good thing for us to think about on Reformation weekend. We're 500 years into the Protestant Reformation, and we're still around. But if we're going to be around for the next 50 years, it's going to mean believing the Word, hearing the Word being taught, and praying to the Lord to bring fruit from that Word. May God help us to believe and to keep on hearing the Word and keep on preaching the Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word. We thank you for this time together in the Word. We ask that you would continue to raise up faithful pastors in the churches of this presbytery, and that you would raise up Christians that pray for them and love them and receive the Word of God from them and encourage them in every way. We pray that the congregations of this presbytery would be happy together under the Word, thankful for the blessing of faithful, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching ministry. We pray that the pastors and elders of this presbytery would be sustained by you in the trials and tribulations and sufferings and hardships of life, and that they would come through those things by the help of the Holy Spirit, believing and living as examples to the flock for how to walk in the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. And so, O God, thank you for meeting with us tonight in the glorious means of grace. And we ask that you would hear our prayers and receive our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.